Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord, saints. We are together again, back in Chicago, with Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and we appreciate you joining our Friday Fellowship of Learners. We are currently walking through the work of Andrew Murray in Total Surrender, How to Walk in Perfect Peace. We are coming to the close of that book, and as we do so, we are in awe of the process that has been laid out before us, of the path to take to perfect peace in these times of chaos. The world should see this peace in our life, in our walk, in our conversation. And so, as we gather, we have coveted to finding some promises of God that will fortify this walk of faith. We look at them as our faith facts, facts that will strengthen our faith and cause us to walk in the peace that God has for us and in the abundance that Christ came so that we might have. So we're welcoming you online. Good morning, good morning. Anybody have their promises? We're looking at promises throughout the Bible. We're going book by book, Old Testament and New. So far, we're up to Job and Titus. Job and Titus. But wherever you have found your promises, share them with us this morning.
Good morning, Mr. Paulette.
Good
morning,
Elder.
I can never. I'm laughing because I can never remember. I had to really look for my book. I thought I had lost my book.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm just finding it this morning.
Okay.
So I've had a very fine time. But I thank God I found it because I've been looking all week. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, my scripture this morning is from Ecclesiastes 2:26. I'm going to say the A part. If people please God, God will give them wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And I consider that a promise because in our pleasing him, he's saying he will give us wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And this isn't just, a part-time thing. It's a constant promise of supplying us with his wisdom, his knowledge, and his joy.
Amen.
And please him. Mm-hmm. And then my New Testament is, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And God has promised that he would protect us from the evil one, and our Savior prayer, his constant prayer, is not that our Father take us out of the world, but that he protects us from the evil one. And our Father has promised that he would protect us from the evil one.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Yes. Good morning. From
good
Job.
Morning.
Yes, good morning from Job 5:7 16 through 19 from the TLB translation. And it said, "How inviolable the man whom God connects. Oh, do not despise the chastising of the Lord when you sin. For though he wounds, he binds and heals again. He will deliver you again and again so that no evil can touch you." And that is a promise from Job.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, my promise from Titus 2:11-14. Mine's a long today. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodly and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." And keeping in mind our lesson today, this was a promise that for me came straight from the result of being kept by God. It's a great promise. And I think the main thing, well, not the main thing, but one of the things is that his salvation, it appeared to all men. God is not a God of partiality. He did what he did for everybody. And he teaches us to say no. So it is out of his strength and his power that these victories are won. He will show us how, and that's what our lesson turns to. And it's and the reason is why we wait for this blessed hope of his appearance. And that's a promise. He is coming back to redeem us as he has purified us so that we will be a people of his. We have been chosen, and that's a powerful promise. And then my promise out of the book of Job 36:5-11, again, say today my promises are really long, but they're full of faith facts to help bring the lesson alive out of the scripture. Because remember, these are words from the word. God is almighty and yet does not despise anyone. He is perfect in his understanding. He does not reward the wicked with his blessings, but gives them their full share of punishment. He does not ignore the good man, but honors them by placing them upon eternal kingly thrones. If trouble comes upon them and they are enslaved or afflicted, then he takes the trouble to point out to them the reason what they have done is wrong or how they have behaved proudly. He helps them hear his instructions to turn away from their sin. If they listen and obey him, then they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. That's the TLB version, and it just outlines clearly Job 36:5-7, the promises, not just to us, but even to the wicked. He has promised the wicked punishment. And the word of God is true, it is powerful, and he is almighty. He is almighty. So anyone else have promises today they would like to share?
Minister Paula, did you say Job 36 or 26?
36.
Okay. 36. And Titus 2 yes. And 10?
To see what the Titus one was. Titus. Titus 2:11-14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So who has our scripture for today out of today's lesson, the keeping power of God? Someone get it out of the different versions, 1 Peter 1:3-5. And as you're getting that, I just want to remind us of our lesson last week, Living in the Spirit. The author presents to us the life and the heart that we must have. He shares with us the fact, trying to see his heading, of receiving the Spirit, living under the power of the Spirit. What happens when we neglect the Spirit? The fact that there is no fruit, lack of the Spirit, is a way of judging where we are. He lists three or four instances for us to look at. First of all, he says, having begun in the Spirit, remember that it is God that is fulfilling his promise to us. We began this journey in the power of God, in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, now let us try to learn what this word is teaching us. Very simple, some very simple thoughts. It starts first that the beginning of our Christian life is receiving the Holy Spirit. Second, it shows us what great danger there is of forgetting that we are to live by the Spirit and not live according to our flesh or to our own understanding. It shows us, third, that what are the fruit and the proof of our seeking perfection in the flesh, because that will bring us failure. Seeking perfection in our flesh brings us failure. And then it suggests to us, finally, the way of deliverance, how to get from that place. God is faithful. He will deliver. He has promised. It is his covenant with us that we are to depend on and to view. Remember the lesson from the week before of old wretched man. When we view ourselves and we realize we are wretched and undone and there's no good thing in us, and we surrender and we bow down in that wretched state, but yet Paul stay there. There is a hope, there is a promise, there is a way out, and God has provided it. But God, through Jesus Christ, has given us our hope and our life that is not wretched in his sight. And so it is our desire only for him to make us willing to do his will. For it is him that makes us willing and then give us the power to be able to do so. And so as the keeping power of God, someone has 1 Peter 1:3-5.
Grandma.
Yeah.
Hello? Yes, Brother John. 1 second.
First Peter 3:5. I got it right here.
First Peter 1, chapter 1, 3-5. Yes. All right, let's see.
Yes.
Praise
blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and
incorruptible
and undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved it in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Do we have another version? Hello? Anyone have a different version?
I have an amplifier over here. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, your amplifier.
You said 3 through 5. Blessed, gratefully
yes.
praised, and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant and boundless mercy, has caused us to be born again, that is, to be reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, to an ever-living hope and confident assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, born anew into an inheritance which is imperishable, beyond the reach of change, and undefiled and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who are being protected and shielded by the power of God through your faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. Now, that's the fifth verse. I mean, that was the end of the fifth verse.
Amen.
So
amen.
It kind of flows a little, you know, it kind of has it in a paragraph through the seventh verse. But, you know, that's
okay.
The end of the fifth.
Not any problem. I think that as we use these different versions, we get a picture, a more illustrative picture in our mind as the words are brought into today's time, that the message is a indeed now message. The message for right now comes off of the book, out of the Bible, and it gets right before us. And so we appreciate the different versions. There are some that, you know, that kind of take some liberty, but we always read it with, you know, the King James type versions in mind, and so we don't get distracted too far.
And
Overseer,
in the version that you shared with me last week, the Passion version, it says, celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you. And the fifth verse reads, through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. And I'm just, please let me read this next one. It says, may the thought of this cause you to jump for joy, even though lately you've had to put up with the grief of many trials. But these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes, even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus, the Anointed One, is revealed. Now, that actually takes it through the seventh verse, but that's the end of that thought. Because to me, the celebration, it's one thing with the promise, but then, you know, he tells you, like, okay, if you ain't getting it, you need to be excited about this, because this is something very special, you know, that is happening, that has happened for you, for those of us who believe.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And you notice how that verse in this one, the original says, blessed be God, be to God, blessed be, and then celebrate. You know, so blessed we, that is a Bible terminology. Celebrate is something that we can then know how to embrace him in today. Celebrate God. You know, and that's that greet one another with songs and spiritual singing. And I mean, because this should be our attitude, our stance. This should just be the thing that cloaks us all together. This joy and celebration, celebrating God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that the author brings out in his presentation really sounds like that whole 1 Peter 1:3-7 in the Passion Bible basically are the words that's in this chapter. Those are the things that he is sharing. He starts off with sharing the keeping power of God. There's two wonderful celebrated truths about the way a believer is kept in his salvation. The first truth is it's kept by the power of God. And then the next truth is it's kept through faith. We should look at the two sides. One is God's side and his almighty power offered to us to be our keeper. And here's that time, every moment of the day. And then there is the human side on which we have nothing to do but in faith to let God do his keeping work. Nothing to do. All we have to do is celebrate. Celebrate the truth and those faith facts that have changed our thinking. And we celebrate them because now they are a part of us and they free us from those things that had us in bondage. And I hate to use that word, but that had us all wrapped up in mess and had us in chaos and unrest, without peace, without hope, in distress, on a roller coaster, up, down, back, forth, not knowing what. But these faith facts ground us. He says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, stability. I have stabilized you through the faith facts that I have given you, through the truth, through the promises that I have given you. They're to stabilize us. They're to cause us to no longer waver back and forth or to be there to strengthen our legs as a baby first starts to walk. His legs and his ankles and his toes have to learn what they need to do to steady the body. And that's what the faith facts and the promises of God does for us. Now I want to read this to you out of and someone with the, especially that Passion Bible, can't imagine what it says. But just in Psalm Psalm 119, and I'm going to start with the 154th verse. And the psalmist is saying, defend my cause and redeem me. But then he says, preserve my life according to your promise. And he goes on to say, your compassion, Lord, is great. Then he says, preserve my life according to your law. Then he says, many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statute. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. So though we know we're not under the law, Christ came to perfect the law in us through Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? That means once we understand those things that God has required, and he said, be ye holy, because I am holy. And the author goes on to, in various times in the lesson, points to some of the things that is a part of God's decree, a part of his statutes, a part of his law, and a part of his love. And so this psalmist is saying, preserve my life according to your promises, but preserve my life according to your love. Preserve my life according to your law. So in other words, my life, our lives are preserved in him. In other words, they're preserved, they're perfected, they're brought to fullness, they're brought to this place of right relationship with God through God's promise, God's love, and God's law, and God's decree. Through your decree, I'm seeking your decree. So if we don't know what his laws, his promises, and his love looks like and what it is, then our lives are not going to be preserved according to him. They may function according to our own understanding. We may try to get some things done, and we may accomplish some things. They won't be eternal. That's why the author, the Bible is saying in Peter, what you're getting from him is incorruptible. It's not going to fade. Can't nobody take it. It's not going to rust. It is going to
Hallelujah.
Yes, unable to be shaken. Yet anything that we do, our own keeping power, those things are going to overtake us. They're going to rust. They're going to fall. They're going to crumble. They're going to explode in our face. They're going to backfire on us. They're not going to be able to sustain our life. And remember, this life is the life that's breathed in us from God. And what he tells us is that we have this life, and Christ looked upon it, came down, became a part of the human race, and understood, now that I've come, when I leave, they will have life more abundantly. So in other words, all those things that did not preserve the life as God breathed it in us, he came to make sure we now can have the abundance. We have that which God provides. So we see that the abundance is coming, through our faith, through our salvation, and through Jesus Christ. One of the things the author shares in here that I just love, and it just stuck with me, and it kept echoing in my head, and I probably can't find it, you know, to look for, but it says, have you studied God? We study the Bible. We study our words. We study our lessons. We do our prayer. We meditate. We do all of those things. But he says, have we studied God? And I thought about that. It's like we study Daniel. We study Saul and Paul and David and Joseph. Oh, here it is on page 131. He says, then you will we'll live as Christians are, but how little we have learned to study God and to understand that a godly life is a life full of God. Not full of God's blessing, not even full of God's power, but it is full of God. This is where he is. Everything that he is with us. It is a life that loves God and waits on God, trusts God, and allows God to bless it. We cannot do the will of God except by the power of God. God gives us the first experience of his power to prepare us to desire more and to come and claim all that he can do. God helps us to trust him every day. You know, it's like one of the movies, Jerry Maguire, whatever he said, help me help you. And God is saying, I want to help you trust me. You know, I am here to help you by helping you trust me. And every day, every moment, we keep getting that time of the way God sees it. It's moment by moment, step by step, hour by hour, day by day. He is always working to get us to trust him and trust him not to do our will, not to answer our laundry list of prayer requests or to, you know, answer those things that we feel will enhance and better our lives and even the lives of our families and loved ones and the world, but rather him. Him, not what he has, but who he is, him, seeking that relationship with him. And so in doing so, the author shares the fact that the first keeping power for us to be kept in this abundant life comes from the fact that it is an almighty, powerful God that has made the commitment to us. There is a double keeping. He not only keeps us here, but he also, the author says, the inheritance is kept for me in heaven and I am kept on earth so that I can get my inheritance in heaven. Just wipe me out. He has something for us, and he has to keep us in the right place so that we can come and get it. So he's keeping what belongs to us, and then he's keeping us so that we can get what belongs to us from him. That's how much he loves and desires to empower us with the abundant life. The first part of this keeping, there's no doubt or question. We, without a doubt, believe we are saved from sin and we're not going to hell. But then there is more. As we study him, Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We learn of the men and women that walked with God, that walked in the godly way. But what we need to start looking at is how was God shown every step? Instead of studying their life, study what God did to their life. Every time God showed up, every time he gave a decree or I don't want to use those words, every time he told someone what to do, who was it? Who is this that's giving this these commands? And who is it? Who is he? Who is this God? And God lets us know that even if you're in a place that no one speaks, he is revealed in everything that's around us. And just understanding, who is this God? This is a God that knows every leaf on every tree all over the world. He knows when that leaf falls. He knows where it goes after it falls. Every blade of grass, God knows it. He is aware who stepped on it, who threw paper on it, what worm is on it. He knows what insect lands on it. That's the kind of God we serve. He is so beyond our comprehension that he created this environment for us so that we could study him. Through seeing what he has created. These are his creations. Now, he delights in allowing us to learn about him. He loves for us to study marine life and botany and, the weather. He loves that because what we're doing, he's revealing himself to us. This is his world. This is his system. He loves it when a doctor starts studying the human body because the human body is something that is marvelous. And it speaks of the God we serve. It speaks of his power, omnipotent power, such a power to create that. And then not just create it, but then continues to maintain and to associate, more than just associate, but commit himself to us. So he delights in us learning about him. But the problem is once we've learned so oftentimes and we become what we call the expert then in the field of botany or the weather or doctor or whatever it is, and then we don't give the knowledge and we don't celebrate him. We don't bless him for it. And God's people, in whatever pursuit that they have on a professional and educational level, should always use it to study God and then celebrate him in that which is shown. Men and women that don't even know God and are not Christians have gone through processes of scientific experiments and things like that of that nature, and they have had to come to the conclusion that there is a God, and that he is so mighty and so beyond our understanding that he really is worthy to be praised and to be celebrated and to be obeyed. And that is the power that keeps us, the keeping power of an omnipotent God, a God that is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He never slumbers or sleeps. He is just over me sitting here as he is over everybody on this line and all of the creatures, all of the environment around us. He is there, and he is aware of everything. Nothing is gone beyond his sight and beyond his knowledge. That's who keeps us. And that should bring a comfort to us and also a humility to realize that, you know what, you first of all, you can't keep nothing from God because he knows. But not only that, we need to understand that he cares and he's committed. Excuse me. He is committed to us. He is committed in his love to keep us because he has a dowry for us. He has an inheritance for us. He has prepared stuff for us that he says, you know what? Eye hasn't seen and ear has not heard what I have for you. And so these are the things that are promises of him that, if you will, should take the edge off of some of our challenges. These are the things that we need to remember when we struggle, when depression comes, when trouble comes, when problems exist and arise, when conflict is about us, when tragedy strikes. There, you know, someone said, well, how can I rejoice? We have to rejoice in who he is, because no matter what is going on, first of all, he knows about it, and he has all power in it. And to be able to rejoice in knowing him, I did this because I know him and he knows me. You know, he has more thoughts of me than there are grains of sand on the sea. These are promises that should cause us to stand straight and yet bow down low and walk in a way that the world can celebrate who we know. One of the prayers that the author shares is the fact that you never find it when you want it. Oh, my God. Let my life be a proof of what the omnipotent God can do. My God, let my life be a proof of, not my words, but let my life, my living, be a proof of what the omnipotent God can do. Let these be the two dispensations of my soul every day. One, we ask you for nothing more than you can give, but we want nothing less. You get that prayer? I read it. It's on page 140. It says, oh, let us say to God that we are going to prove him to the most, to the very utmost. Let us say, we ask you for nothing more than you can give, but we want nothing less. If you're asking God for nothing more than he can give, and he can give it all, but we have to be in a place where we want nothing less than all that God will give us. And when we do that, then my God, let my life be a proof of the omnipotent God and what you can do. Let these be the two dispensations of your soul every day. Deep, helpless, simple, childlike rest. When your soul rests on this, it is a helplessness, and it's okay to be helpless when you're getting everything that the Most High God has. He's giving it no less to you. It's simple, it's not complicated, he's doing it. It's a childlike rest. I don't have to know. He knows what I'm supposed to do. He will show me how. He'll give me the power to do it, and he'll tell me when to do it. And he will do this moment by moment. I'm not going to do it once and then say, okay, you're on your own. Let's see how much you learn. It's a test. Well, you will be tested. But, you know, but once we get it, we should not take the stance of, okay, I got it now. I'm good. No, I got it now, I want more. And I can't do anything unless moment by moment it is where you are directing where you are, because where you are, again, is where all that you are is. That sounds like bad English, but it isn't. And then the author goes on to say, because that kind of faith needs fellowship. So you can read the word and believe it, but do not think it is so necessary to fellowship with God. Many people want to take the word and believe it, and they believe it, they read it, okay? But that is not enough if you do not have fellowship with God, because really the only way we can have an understanding of the word and the word to come alive in us is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and giving him that time of fellowship. No goodness, no power can be received apart from God. If you want to get into this life of godliness, you must take time for fellowship with God. It says, there is the need. I urge you, remember two things. I have not told you to trust the omnipotence of God as a thing. I have not told you to trust the word of God as a written book. I have told you to go to the God of omnipotence and the God of the word. Go to him and deal with God as that noble dealt with the living Christ. In other words, go to him for who he is. Because it is the very eye and tone and voice of Jesus, the Son of God, that we will hear and will draw us and cause us to trust. Do not try to stir or arouse faith within yourself, because you can't. How often have you tried to do this and you just failed miserably? You cannot stir up faith from the depths of your heart. Leave your heart and look into the face of Christ. Study God. Study God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he tells you about how he will keep you. Look into the face of your living Father and take time every day with him. Begin a new life with the deep emptiness and poverty of a man, a wretched man that we are, who have nothing and who wants to get everything from God. With the deep restfulness of a man who rests on the living God, the omnipotent Jehovah. Try God and prove him if he will not open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you won't have room to receive them. It is such a powerful invitation. First, we were asked to abide in the vine, and now he is so courting us, today, loving kindness, drawing us to him through revealing himself to us as to who he is. The power of, he doesn't use it to make us follow him, but rather he uses it to comfort us as we follow him, as we walk with him, as he extends himself to us, in us and through us, for it is that rest that our flesh will make our flesh quiet. That's the kind of rest will quiet your flesh. It's just like if you're doing something and you're getting it accomplished and your kids come and they go, you know, they try to interrupt you, and you want to just quiet yourself. Go and sit still, and what it is you need, it's going to come. Yeah, I'm hungry. I'm like, quiet yourself. Quiet yourself in the fact, not the fact, but in the truth of who he is, in the character of the God who has bared his arms to us. He said he would. He would bare his arms. That's like when you go to and you attend business, you roll your sleeve up and you bare your arms because you're about to do this thing. And he's bared his arms and not just doing it, but embracing us in them. So that we are so close to him and we are a part of him that we are given him. He says he puts a little heaven in all of our hearts. How little we have learned to study him. Study him, and then you'll recognize when it isn't him. No, that's not him. No. You know, that's something that someone said. you know, that's a cliche, or that's a trend, or that's a song. That's not him. And we'll know the difference, and because we will have studied him, and we'll be so close to him, he'll whisper in the ear, no, don't go that way, go the other. He's right there whispering in our ear that which we should do. One of the scriptures says you're at a crossroad every moment because there's something that you need to do, go to the right or to the left. And every time you get to that crossroad, he said, choose the ancient path. The ancient path is the path of righteousness. It is his path that is there for his name's sake, because that's the path that leads in him. That's the path that is in Christ and keeps us so that we can get to what he has for us. He literally has our inheritance. He literally has our prize. He literally has our riches beyond our understanding waiting on us. And all along that path of righteousness, he is imparting to us that the essence of that, the very changing of our mindset so that we can embrace it when we get to the end. Because if we went from zero to 100 miles an hour, we would burn up. Our brains would just burn up. We just could not, we couldn't contain it or conceive of it. But as he draws us to it, day by day, step by step, hour by hour, moment by moment, then he is preparing us to embrace it in its fullness. I have so enjoyed this particular chapter because it gives us the the picture that God has presented to us of this perfect peace. And this, I think he's definitely presented his case that total surrender and absolute surrender, it says, and what do some people say, is not an option. Not if you want the abundant life. Not if you want that which you were created to enjoy. So I had to open the lines. I've been kind of talky this morning. But, Cheryl, how were you impacted by this lesson? What was the thing that he drew you to? Yes. Lines are open. Hello, anybody?
I want to speak, though.
Yes, my name is John.
With the lesson you just brought up forth towards me, he opened my eyes up and let me know that, you know, no matter what problem or what red tape or what options I'm going through, it ain't nothing that he can't do or bring me out of. But at the same time, don't try to fight it by myself. Or fight it, period. Go to him for the answers and just keep my eyes and my ears open for his answer, because he going to guide me the right way if I sit there and laugh. Don't do it on my own. Don't let my flesh take control of my spiritual life.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's what I've been doing lately.
Man.
And every time I do it, I run into a brick wall. So now, by me listening to his message, and by me reading it, and really gripping it, it let me know to stop doing things on my own, because his way is more powerful and more wiser than mine.
Amen.
And like I always tell Dean, like I always tell Dean them to jump in the trunk. Lately, I've been jumping behind the wheel, and I've just been getting, discouraged and really upset about a lot of things that I feel that I should be able to fix myself, but at the same time, I can't fix it myself. So I'm learning, and I'm glad he. He got you to get in touch with me to join with the group and to listen to this.
Amen.
I really like I really love it, and I thank him for that that message.
Amen. 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 We thank God. He's such a loving, forgiving God. Yes. Yes. Elder.
No, was someone else speaking? You can go ahead.
No, you're Elder.
I was just going to say that as I was reading the lesson, there were a couple examples. The one when he talks about the watch, where, you know, if you lend a watch to your friend and you say, okay, you can take it with you on the trip and on the journey, but bring it back, and they bring it back, and it's, you know, he said defaced and destroyed and broken and all of those kinds of things, that somehow we think that in a similar way, that's how God does us, that he puts us out here in the world and just lets us get beat up, you know, and then we come back to him just broken and bruised. Now, you know, the normal wear and tear is kind of implied because, you know, we're in the world. But, you know, he's like, you know, it's never his intent for us, just like the brother just shared, to be out here and just getting beat up because we're doing it on our own. But when we understand that we have a Father that loves and protects us, and even when you think of, because he gave all of the different examples of when people think that God is with them in prosperity, or when they can believe that he's with them in adversity and not in prosperity, you know, and vice versa, it always takes me back to just that primal kind of parental example, just the whole idea of, as an adult now, and think of the things that you may instruct children to do that seem so foolish and doesn't have any bearing, but you're seeing the big picture. You're seeing what needs to happen tomorrow, what needs to happen tonight, and this is only a little piece of it. And the same way that we want our children and those that would be subordinate, and I'm not saying that in a disparaging way, just, you know, people that we might, you know, oversee, so to speak, to be obedient to what we're saying, you know, without disputing and without delaying, you know, without overthinking it, because we know best, and God wants us to have that same type of trust and faith and reliance, and it's that rest that, you know, as we have been in fellowship, you know, in fellowship with him, because if we belong to him, we're in relationship. But we might not be in fellowship, but when we're obedient and we're in fellowship and we can just go and do whatever Daddy says to do, then it always seems to work out because, you know, we have loving parents. And I think a lot of times we just get in our own, as you said, bad grandma, our own self's way of just thinking that whatever the Spirit is telling us cannot be the right way, because all of those options or all of those avenues seem weird or blocked or just, you know, impossible, you know, and without waiting for God to go ahead and move and open that door, you know, part that Red Sea, so to speak, you know, using what we have in our hands. So I don't know, I have enjoyed this whole absolute surrender. To me, it has followed really well with that abide in Christ, because it's kind of like the next level. Like, okay, now you know you're supposed to be abiding, but now, you know, just long surrender, you know, that little by little, you know.
Amen.
As we strive to do the best that we can, you know, God just shows himself just powerful, powerful, you know, in that. When you had asked earlier about the scripture that you had read out of Psalms 119, In the Passion, it says, "Take my side and defend me in these sufferings." Actually, it actually starts it under "Breathe life into me again." It shows that as the passage starting at the 153rd, "Look upon all my misery and come be my hero to rescue me, for I will never forget what you have revealed to me. Take my side and defend me in these sufferings. Redeem me and revive me, just like you promised you would. The wicked are so far from salvation, for they could not care less about your message of truth. Your tender mercies are what I need, O God. Give me back my life again through the revelation of your judgments. I have so many enemies who persecute me, yet I won't swerve from following your ways. I grieve when I see how the faithless ones live, for they just walk away from your promises. Lord, see how much I truly love your instructions. So in your tender kindness, breathe life into me again. The sum total of all of your words add up to absolute truth, and every one of your righteous decrees is everlasting. So that's it in the Passion. That's Psalms 119, 153 through 160.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yeah, thank the prophet for turning us on to that.
Yes, absolutely. And I knew it would be good.
And that is free on YouVersion Bible. Anybody who wants to get that is free. You just go in there and type in the Passion Bible. You can download it on your phone or computer.
Okay. Our tech manager has just given us more tools for studying. And as I say, you can bind it with whatever version you're familiar with, but just have that to as an explanation, as a commentary, as another perspective of how that scripture is communicated to you. That is very powerful and very true. That is, you know, something, if you just read that all day today, the Passion Bible, okay? Breathe life back into me. What drew my attention when it says preserve my life according to, and it lets us know it's our life is connected to something. It's connected to an omnipotent God. So anybody else? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Elder. Elders, thank you.
Yes.
Anyone else?
This chapter was...
Yes.
Go ahead. Oh, I was saying this chapter is so powerful.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Sister Pat.
Hello?
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if I was unmuted or not.
Oh, go ahead. I didn't know somebody else.
Hello, this is Greg from Pennsylvania. I think I'm a first-time listener. And sorry to interrupt, but
nope.
I just thank God for the peace on the line. I mean, you know, it was just a pleasant surprise when I caught the broadcast, and I just felt like saying, you know, the washing of the word. You know, I felt like there was a washing, a cleansing on the line. And of course, what I was looking for was, you know, sometimes it feels like a lot of people just want to take the rod and try to beat the dirt off you. And it was nice to get a good shower or bath.
Hallelujah.
So, but I was wondering, what are your show times? I was trying to, are they always on at the same time?
Yes, sir. Always Friday. We call our Friday Fellowship of Learners. We start at 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we go till we do. Generally an hour, but sometimes we go over. We are so blessed that you have joined us. Thank you so much. Please feel free to come back. We are looking at our sessions are coming from a book, Andrew Murray, Absolute Surrender. And I encourage you, if you can, to go online. You can download a PDF file of it. And it's on the, what did you call that, Elder Deborah? Free open domain or something, free domain. And so you can download an audio of it. So it is available, and it's the most powerful. It's a very powerful book for
Okay, I read it. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll be back. Blessings.
All right, then. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Overseer?
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that's on LibriVox for the gentleman that was on the line. LibriVox.org, LIBRIV as in victory, OX.org. And it's public domain because it's over 100 years old, Absolute Surrender.
Okay.
You can go out there and download it or listen to it free.
Amen.
Okay,
thank you, Elder.
You.
Okay. And you can always listen to past sessions on Blog Talk. So we had Evangelist.
Yeah. I had a friend I was talking to yesterday, and I just gave something that was given me years ago, and my friend told me this. Say, you tried everything else. You done tried everything else, and it didn't work. Why don't you try God? And that's what I told my friend. I said, try God. It won't hurt you. I said, you did everything else. Try God. And she called me up. She called me last night. She said, I've been trying God, and it's working. I said, keep doing it. It works better. So I said, just...
Amen. Thank you, Evangelist. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Minister Pat?
Yes. Hello?
Minister Pat?
Sorry about that. I didn't know the guy was talking. You know how you have that 5 second delay. But that was a blessing. I was just saying, I think everyone even said it from Brother John to everyone on the phone, but it brought me back to the abiding Christ and the chapter that talks about and not in self and not in our strength, but it was a page on 230 that stated it is in the mortifying, the slaying of self, that the wonderful powers with which God has fitted you to serve him can be set free for a complete surrender to God. And I think John spoke when he was talking about not in our own strength, but doing it in his, when we rest in him and surrender it all, totally surrender it to him. That's when it gets better and better, as Evangelist Marvella just said. Oh, this was just a powerful chapter.
Amen. Amen. The lines are still open. Anybody else would like to share? I'm sure that as you study, you see that we're coming up on the last chapter in our book. It's a nice, lengthy chapter, but it is the last chapter in our book that we will go through the blessing of branch life, absolute surrender, the blessing of branch life, which just leads us to the abide in Christ. You know, we are branches that are engrafted into the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, kept by Holy Spirit and tended to on a daily basis by God the Father. God. Hallelujah. We thank and praise him for that. And we're looking at going into Good Morning, Holy Spirit, that book, which is a different kind of format. You can get it online and audio, so we made sure it is the audio version of it. But we probably won't start it until June. So we'll just review this one and the other book. We want to do a fruit inspection, how to know that we are growing in Christ by the fruit that we bear. And so we're going to do a fruit inspection and then go into the new book in the month of June. So if you have any suggestions of books, some of you have given me some and I'm reviewing them, let me know so that we can take a look and move forward. We seem to be zipping through things here lately. Yes. Hello? Okay.
Hello?
So, yes?
Somebody else was talking.
Yep. Sometimes it's background noise, but we appreciate you joining us today. We've had a wonderful fellowship this Friday. We pray that you will continue in your rejoicing in the Lord, in your worship, of the most high and most worthy God. He deserves, there's a song Daryl Coley sang years and years ago, God of the Universe, he and he alone is fit to sit upon the throne. He is God and God alone. The universe bows at him, and everything will worship him. And we want to be worshiping him now in the power of Holy Spirit, in truth and in love with one another. So enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Continue your walk in faith with joy. Let's start singing when we see one another. Hallelujah. And celebrate. Celebrate the living God. Amen. Amen. And we'll talk again next week.
Amen.
Amen.